This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Hyatt Regency with Bob Treadway. Bob, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, Bob, welcome to the annual HR and food roundtable. We have 230 human resource people here in the ag industry. And one of the things that people wanted you to talk about, well, first I'm going to ask you about yourself, and then I have a very specific question that I think you're going to get asked a lot. But, you know, Bob, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what you do.
For the last 27 years, I've been doing work as a forecaster and strategy consultant and, as I was labeled here today, a futurist, which is a title that you can have in the United States by saying you are one. But I came to this work by virtue of being a management consultant after a business career that led to me doing strategy work with clients, and clients realized that they were not very good at looking at the environment that they were moving into, that they would have to operate within. So they asked me to start doing that for them, and it overtook everything else on my list about 27 years ago. So that's essentially what I was doing.
Bob, you mentioned that your business has grown so that agriculture has become one of the largest client bases for you. And what we hear every year that we come here and it seems to get worse and not better is that there's not enough talent and that the ag industry is having a hard time recruiting people into that talent. So what have you, and as you have talked to clients and have been at these different events, what have you seen? Is this really, truly an issue across the industry?
Well, in agriculture, yes, I have seen clients say to me that, yeah, we don't see enough talent coming into some of the companies. I think that it is by virtue of the fact that agriculture tends to look at agricultural schools as being the primary suppliers of talent to their industry. And I would, although I wasn't asked this today, I would advise ag companies to start thinking more broadly, to start thinking about people from the business students in the business sector, students in technology sectors coming into the companies, because that is where the future is. As we heard on the final panel this morning where three students held forth, one of them was essentially a business major and was in business areas and doing business internships until he found out about agriculture and realized that a massive company, Cargill, that he's just interned for is a great place to work. And although I've been working in agriculture for over 20 years now, in the last several years, the business has been robust, and my work comes primarily through referral. And more companies and organizations, cooperatives, have become familiar with me as Ag Careers did, and that's why my work has been enlarging in the sector.
Well, what I found extraordinarily interesting was you were talking about forecasting, and you were joking, although it's really not a joke, about how some of the worst forecasters are weather people. But yet, even though the industry needs to forecast and need to plan for the future, you talked a little bit about why that's such an important strategy. So can you talk us a little bit through the forecasting and what the ag industry needs to look for or plan for in the future?
There's a misconception that futurists do predictions. And most of us who are professional futurists, and I'm a member of the actually, there's an association of professional futurists. We don't do that kind of work. We do forecasting, which is foresight that takes into account uncertainty. So it talks about the odds of or a percentage of or the reliability of a particular forecast. And then it changes with time and new information. So the closer we move towards the future, the more we know about it. And when we get new information, we can then alter our forecasts. And that's what I find clients and individuals within organizations do that enhances their value, makes them better at seeing what's ahead, and as a consequence, allows them to take better and more successful actions today because they see how those actions will shape up in a future.
Well, and one of the things you talked about was the changing and the types of jobs and how everybody's moving into these data positions and that some positions that we see traditionally are going to go away. So what do you think, what's your advice looking down 5, 10, 15 years for the industry in terms of starting to change their recruiting strategies to these people who understand and can work with data?
Well, one of the things that I said today was there's whenever you see a great growth in the need for a particular specialties, and I talked about individuals to work in predictive analytics or what's often referred to as big data. There have been several forecasts of that, one by McKinsey, that says that we're going to have a tremendous shortage of those individuals over, you know, within about 5 years and probably continuing for another decade beyond that. If I was an agricultural company, one of the things that I would be doing is trying to find that talent and ensure its retention, or I would be taking some of my best people and training them to learn this particular field, returning to school, engaging in other activities that will allow you to gain that expertise within the company. And it's my feeling that what is really important in the future is not only being able to forecast where the needs are going to be in the organization, as well as forecast those areas that will be affected by technology and replaced by technology. If you recall in my presentation today, I talked about that a bit, and there was essentially nobody in the room that was familiar with the studies that I was showing them about, you know, the probability of computerization and various functions that the USDA is still saying are growth areas. And they may be growth areas for the next few years, but long term they will not. So, you know, it's a matter of thinking not in terms of next year or the next 3 years plan, but to think about 5 and 10 years, and in some cases 15 years out.
So, Bob, are you available to come into companies and sit down and help them look at what they're doing today and based off what you're seeing and the research you're doing, help them start to plan out and then potentially go back and say, oh, this changed in 3 years, and help them update that? Are you available one-on-one to go in those companies and do that?
Oh, gee.
You better say yes, Bob, or you're not going to be allowed to come back next year.
Yeah, half my work today is with executive and governance and decision-making groups to try to help them see into the future. And it's not merely on my view of the future, but the best way to do that is to engage me as a provoker or a stimulator of thought, and to use the expertise that's in an organization to try to see those things. Yes, it's something that I do and I enjoy, and yes, I'm available.
All right, well, I'm going to plug your contact information on this part of the article. But my last question in closing, Bob, is you have given some amazing pieces of advice to the industry. But in closing, if everybody walks away and they'll remember one thing for your presentation or one thing from this interview, what do you want them to remember or potentially to act on?
Foresight is a process, not an event. It's something that needs to be done by organizations on an ongoing basis, and especially by the individuals within a company. The most successful clients I work with are those that are continuously focused on what's coming and adjusting all the time, as opposed to trying to do it in a wrenching change that results from a single event.
Thanks, Bob.